is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is Pastor Rob Chambers of Reedtown Community Church in Newport, Tennessee. It is our earnest hope and prayer that something will be said or done through word or song that will be a blessing to your heart.
But it is good to see everyone that's here this morning. Pray for those who could not be here for whatever the reason. And I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Joshua for the text this morning. Joshua chapter 4. Chapter 4 of the book of Joshua. We'll read verses 4 through 7, then verses 19 through 24. Beginning with the fourth verse. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it was passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Verse 19, And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Those stones were taken out of the midst of the Jordan River, the middle, the deepest part. Each man of the tribe of Israel grabbed a stone large enough that he had to carry it on his shoulder. And they built an altar out of those 12 stones to stand as a memorial to remind Israel and everyone around how mighty, how trustful, how wonderful is the God that Israel served, that they might fear the Lord your God forever. Today, we anticipate things that are going to take place tomorrow. Instead of a memorial day anymore, we have a memorial weekend. There were services yesterday. There were things that took place yesterday. There'll be more Monday. Churches all over the land are doing something today to commemorate Memorial Day. And along those lines, I called Matthew yesterday afternoon and had him find me a song. I've told you before, I like upbeat songs. So don't be surprised at what Matthew plays this morning. But after he plays the first one, I'm going to ask you to stand for the second. Matthew, please.
Mercy more than life. success. Be nobleness. And ever again divine. And you know, when I was in school, we used to sing it something like this. Listen here. Oh, beauty battle, far spacious skies, far amber waves of grain. A purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. But now wait a minute, I'm talking about America, sweet America. You know, God done shed His grace on thee. He gave me crown, my good. Yes, He did. Any brotherhood from sea to shining sea. You know, I wish I had somebody to help me sing this.
Plains. All those things were made possible, of course, by the grace of God. But on our part, through the blood of those that died so that you and I might be free. Our spiritual freedom comes from the blood of Jesus Christ. Our national freedom comes from the blood of the young men and women that have served and died so that you and I could be here this morning and do what we're doing. Tim made mention about the founding fathers earlier, and it brought to my mind an account of Washington during the Revolutionary War. His troops were trapped on Long Island, outnumbered 30,000 to 18,000. The first day of the battle, it went bad for Washington. He lost 2,000 men and was in danger of being overrun. But for some reason, the British stopped. They didn't press the issue. They didn't continue the attack. They pulled back. Gave the colonials a reprieve. That afternoon and that evening, Washington called for a prayer meeting. He went out and prayed himself. He asked his officers and his men to pray to God. A storm arose. Wind, cold, waves all around the island, high. No hope of getting off until early, early in the morning. The storm stopped. The water became as smooth as glass. Washington gave the order for his troops to try to cross the river to get away from the enemy. There wasn't enough time to get the entire army out. But when the sun rose the next morning, the fog rolled in, a fog bank that hid the American army until all of them had escaped from the island and were able to continue the fight. What saved Washington and his army? The hand of God. The hand of God did. God stopped the British from attacking. God sent the storm to keep them under cover. Then God gave them the peace and the calm to get across the river. And then he sent the fog to cover their retreat in the morning. Don't tell me God didn't ordain this country. That's only one example, and there are thousands of them in our history. Thousands. God ordained it, but men died to bring it to pass. That's what we celebrate tomorrow. It's not a day off. It's not a holiday. It's not a day to go out and boat and die to go out and have fun. You can do those things. There's nothing wrong with that. But keep in your mind and your heart what that day commemorates. With that in mind, I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'm going to ask Matthew to play the other selection this morning. Tomorrow, on Memorial Day, you'll see flags everywhere. There'll be services all across the nation. And stones will play a very prominent part, just like they did in Joshua's day. Different kind of stone. You'll see headstones from local cemeteries and from Arlington National Cemetery, where the fields of green are covered with long rows of white marble crosses and stars of David, where American servicemen and women have died and been laid to rest. You'll see those white crosses and approximately 12 inches in front of them, you'll see a small American flag, row after row after row after row, as far as the eye can see. There's nothing wrong with memorials. There's nothing wrong with taking a moment to remember what those memorials stand for. We need to do that, but we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful, or we'll start to commemorate the wrong thing. Everything in our life will become a memorial. Our bank account will become a memorial. Our homes will become a memorial. Bridges, skyscrapers, dams, walls. You know, you can see the Great Wall of China from space, one of the seven wonders of the world. They're even able to build islands now. They dredge up sand from one area and build islands and build skyscrapers and houses on. Sometimes man can make monuments to himself and how good that he is. But we've got to remember, stones will crumble one day, statues fall, and memories fade. This is our first memorial this morning. This will stand for all eternity. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The first memorial this morning, the word of God, is everlasting. It's from everlasting to everlasting, the Word says. It's eternal. It's from before the beginning to after the end. It has no beginning. It has no end. And it never changes. It's forever settled in heaven. Mankind has walked on the moon. Literally walked on the moon. He's explored the depths of the ocean, 5 miles under the surface of the water. Eliminated diseases. Polio that once used to cripple thousands is practically non-existent anymore. The things that human beings can achieve if they put their minds to it is almost limitless. But mankind is still a withering, fading, dying creature. That quickly. The Bible says we're like a vapor, our life is. All of a sudden here and then gone. With nothing left but memories. All of mankind's intelligence, his strength, and all the might that he has are just grass, withering and fading away after a short amount of time. The only way that you and I can endure is through this. The only way is through this. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. But this, and as the last part of the 21st verse said, the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We have an opportunity. We have the ability. We have the promise of God to become something more. Something lasting. Because of the gospel of this word. Because of the truth of the word of God. What is the gospel? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the gospel. Resurrected the third day. Dying. Sacrificing Himself. Shedding His blood. So that you and I might have salvation. That's the gospel. That brings us to the second memorial. The cross of Calvary. The world tries to deny it. They hate it. They loathe it. They despise it. They are trying to destroy it completely. They denigrate it. They question it. They ignore it. They belittle it. But the cross of Calvary still stands today. After 2,000 years, it still stands. Matthew, play the song.
While Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on a cross, that He might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them. precious Redeemer. Seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding for sinners, pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Oh, how I love Him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find Him? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my song shall praise Him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see Him on Calvary's tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Dying for me. You pray for the sister while she comes before the throne of God this morning, while she pours out our heart to the man that hung upon that tree 2,000 years ago. The cross at Calvary is a testimony to the love that God had for you and I. John 3:16, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We wither, we fade like grass and the flower, but because of the first memorial, the Word of God, we have a promise of eternal life through the second memorial, the cross of Jesus. Third memorial. He's here with us this morning. All those under the year of 18, stand up, please. Everyone under 18 years of age, stand up this morning. What a memorial. Thank you. You can sit down. The Word of God tells us in Isaiah 8 and 18, "Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion." In Psalms 127, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." I'm a happy man this morning to stand up and look across the congregation and see those young people. I know they're your children, but they're mine too. They're mine too. I have that unique privilege as being their pastor. They're mine. And to be perfectly honest with you, so are you. When I look at all of you, I see children. I see my children. Preacher, that's silly. I'm twice as old as you are. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. To me, you're all children. And when I see God's house filled, my heart swells to almost bursting with a memorial, the testimony that there's still a remnant left in the world of God's people. Even though society and the world seem like they don't care, they ignore the Word of God, they despise it, they try to undermine it, but there's still a remnant. There's still a few who still believe, still a few who trust in God, still a few who believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. In Deuteronomy 4 and 9, the Word of God says, "Take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons." Proverbs 17 and 6, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." Deuteronomy 31, 13, "And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as ye live in the land, whither ye go over Jordan to possess it." If our children do not see a fear of God in us, if they do not see a reverence of God in us, if they do not see a reverence for God's holy day, which you and I use Sunday, not the Sabbath, we use Sunday. Since Christ rose on Sunday morning, that's how long, since then is when the church has celebrated Sunday as its holy day. If our children don't see a reverence for that in us, they won't reverence it. If they don't see a love for the Word of God, if they don't see you and I reading this, if they don't see you and I praying, if they don't see you and I coming to the house of God every time the doors open, if they don't see you and I reaching out in mercy and love to a lost world, they won't do it either. And you shouldn't expect them to. I get so sick and tired of hearing about, "Oh, this generation today of young people, oh, this generation, they've turned this generation." No, this generation has been let down by the previous generation. They are responsible to God for their own actions, but we are responsible as well because we failed to instruct them. We failed to hold them as a memorial, as a gift that they are from God, precious, blessed. We failed them, we failed God, because we haven't held on to His memorials, the Word, the cross, and the children that God's given us. We've let go somewhere, somehow. I cannot think, with the exception of the words, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over many." That's prayer. That's first. That's what I want to hear most of all, Sister Millie. I want to hear those words. But right after that, I hope and pray that God gives me the ability when I stand in heaven to just listen in to one of my children's conversations. Mom and Daddy didn't have much. They didn't have a whole lot to give us, but what they did have, they give to us, and that was Jesus. Mom and Daddy didn't know a lot, but they knowed how to pray, and I saw them pray, and I learned how to pray from watching my mom and daddy pray. My mom and daddy, they weren't blessed in worldly things. My mom and daddy weren't well liked by a lot of people. But my mom and daddy today are standing beside Jesus in heaven. That's what I want to hear. That's the memorial I want to leave behind. I don't want my name in history books. I don't want my name up in lights. I don't want my name up on signs somewhere. I don't want those things, things that I once craved, I once desired when I didn't know God. After hearing my Lord say, "Son, come on in," I want to hear my children say, "My daddy knowed God. My daddy knowed the Lord. there's nothing else that could bless my heart any better. There's nothing else that I could leave as a better memorial, a better testimony. Sister Tanya, come to the piano. Bless you, Lord. Have your way. On this memorial weekend, what memorials are sacred to you? What memorials reach down and touch you? Does the Word of God mean anything to you? Or is it just a book? Is the cross of Calvary a myth? A fable? A rambling? Society says it's a crutch for the weak-minded. I'm weak-minded, all right. But it ain't no crutch, Sister Millie. It's more than a crutch. It's the entire foundation that my life rests on. With a crutch, I hobble along under my own power using... No. Jesus is the foundation. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. Is He yours this morning? And if you once professed it, do you now live it so that it's a memorial to the children around you? I have to ask questions like that. I'm instructed of God to bring these things out to you and put them before you. It's up to you to answer them. It's up to you to act on them. I've done what God required of me. I give you His Word. Now I beg and I pray and I plead that you'll heed the call. That prick in your heart. That tug. That tickle in the back of your mind. It's the Holy Ghost of God poking you. Trying to get you to look closer. Trying to get you to see. Prompting you to move. To come. And for whatever the reason is. Whether you need salvation, whether you've drifted away from God, or whether you're a child of God and you just need strength because of your... It doesn't matter what the need is. We've lost sight of that. We worry too much that people are going to... It don't matter the need. Come to the One that can supply. Come to the One who spoke everything into existence. Come to the One who can answer every question, fulfill every need, calm every storm, and change every life. As everyone stands to your feet and we sing an invitational song. Come this morning. Come this morning. We hope that you've enjoyed our podcast presentation. If you would like more information about the church or any additional podcast, please join us on the web at www.reedtowncommunitychurchpodcast.blogspot.com. That's spelled REEDTOWN communitychurchpodcast.blogspot.com. Thank you, and God bless.